So Jared was talking about using the internet to collect data, and that's what we do for our study also. So today I'm going to talk about bullying in children with hearing loss, children and adolescents with hearing loss. And I have nothing to disclose except for my colleague, I should have said, Betty Loy is in the audience, and my student Hannah Porcio is also on this paper. And I'd be remiss not to acknowledge our contributors, funding sources, contributors, collaborators, data collectors, and of course the adolescents who participated. If we're going to talk about bullying, we really need a consistent definition. And the CDC kindly issued a nice definition earlier this year and identified bully as referring to unwanted aggressive behavior or behaviors by a youth or group of youth when there's either an observed or perceived imbalance of power, and these behaviors can be repeated multiple times or have a likelihood of being repeated multiple times. The intent of bullying or peer victimization is harm, either physically, through psychosocially, or educationally. So what we know from the general population is that nearly 30% of children between 12 and 18 experience bullying at least once. And in the general population, the most common types of bullying are teasing, which could be teasing, name-calling, being made fun of, having rumors spread about them, or enduring physical harm. Because bullying can have very negative effects on the victim, we should identify risk factors. And by saying that there are risk factors, it's not blaming the victim, it's just saying these are people who may be more likely to be the target of peer victimization. And so across multiple studies, whether the individuals have disabilities or not, these are factors that seem to come in to play when we're talking about the victims, that often they're less popular and they have fewer friends. They have low self-esteem. This is even before the bullying occurs. They may show exhibit signs of depression or anxiety, perceived as weak and possibly unable to report the bullying, and also perceived as different. And what we know about children and adolescents, I should say anybody with disabilities, is that they are different. They are different from the general population, which means that they are more likely to endure peer victimization. Now, when I say they're more likely, I don't mean 5 or 10%. It's actually 2 to 3 times more likely that a child or adolescent with disabilities will be bullied more than the general population. And this range here, this is across a multitude of disabilities. It could be attention deficit disorder, spina bifida, autism, hearing loss. It doesn't matter. We have this broad range, but either way, they're getting bullied much more than what we see in the general population. And what's very interesting is how they get bullied. So they get teased, like you see in the general population, but the teasing is a little bit different, that usually it's focused on the disability. But the thing that I find most interesting, not in a good way, is that they're getting excluded socially. So it's not, and that's something that we don't see in the general population as much. And I'm going to show you some data to see, so that you can see what's happening with our kids with hearing loss. But if this is what's happening with children with disabilities, what does that mean for our children with hearing loss, which is the group that I'm really interested in? Because when they're at risk for peer victimization and we're talking about them being different, there are lots of ways that you can be different. You can look different. You can be different physically, emotionally, socially, through sensory process. So that's what we're really interested in, is what happens with our children with hearing loss. Because they may be at more risk because they have all of these differences. Physically, they're different because they're wearing hearing aids or cochlear implants. Communicatively, their competence may not be the same as the general population. That is, if we think about their speech, their articulation of sounds and words may not be the same and up to par as their hearing peers. As far as their language, it may be less complex, and they don't pick up necessarily on the nuances of language, on sarcasm and jokes, which if you think about what happens for preteens and teenagers, those things are really, really important for them and to fit in with a social crowd. And then if you think about hearing, their hearing is not as good, obviously, because they have a hearing loss. But even if they're wearing their devices, their cochlear implants, their hearing aids, listening to noise is very, very difficult. And if you think about the situations that they're in the classroom, it's a very loud place. In social activities, is loud. If they're an adolescent and they're trying to go out, it's usually at a loud party. So those are places where they're going to be left out because they don't hear as well. When I say awkward social skills, what I mean is that they don't always pick up on the cues. What are the social norms of the group and turn-taking? And that's something that they don't really practice. In the first 5 years of life, everything they're focusing on is how do I get, you know, the parents are focusing on how do I get my child to listen and talk, and everything's about communication. So all of those preschool play groups and the things that happen in kindergarten, a lot of those things they miss out on because everything is so focused on how are they learning how to talk and listen. And perceived weakness, what I mean by that is that sometimes bullies will think that children with hearing loss, they just perceive them as weak, and that if they can't hear, then they can't report that they're getting bullied. So we know that this is what we're expecting, what actually happens in the studies that have actually looked at bullying in children with hearing loss. And interestingly, they found no difference. No difference in bullying in children with hearing loss and children with who are normally hearing. So I know you're thinking to yourself, why would you do this study if everything's showing this? It's three studies that have shown that there's no difference. But even though they show that there's no difference over in the overall percentage, they are showing a difference in the type and the way that they're getting bullied. They're getting teased and they're getting excluded, which is what we see with children with disabilities. So I was worried about that too. Why would we look at this if there's no, if the three studies that have looked at this are showing no difference? And I think that there's problems with the studies that have been done. Number one, they're using, it's who is the respondent. If they ask the parent, does the parent necessarily know that the child's getting bullied at the school? So do they know it? Have they seen it? Is the child telling them about it? So I think looking at the respondent is really important that we need to ask the child themselves. Number two, what is the instrument that they're using? Are they using an ad hoc instrument that they just made up on the fly? Some of them just use, one of the questionnaires just used one single question, and none of the studies that have been done have compared to national data at all. And then third, one of the studies used children who are deaf with hard of hearing who attend a school for the deaf rather than ones who are mainstreamed. And I don't know if that's necessarily representative of a lot of the children that we're seeing in clinic these days. So this is the gap that our study is aiming to fill, to look at the prevalence and type of peer victimization in children with hearing loss, and to look at what is their perceived reason for getting bullied, and to compare this information to what we see in a national database. So I'll introduce you to our participants, not one by one, because there's 88 of them, but they are mostly cochlear implant users. 81% of them are cochlear implant users, and 19% use hearing aids. It's slightly skewed toward females, and most of them are Caucasian and non-Hispanic or Latino. And because this is something that we look at when we're studying children with hearing loss is how old are they? So on average, they're about 12 and a half. They got their devices around 3 years of age and have about 9 years of experience. So these are children who are very experienced users and perform relatively well with their devices. The study or the instrument that we use was a school crime supplement to the National Crime Victimization Survey. And this is a bullying questionnaire that looks at the type of, the prevalence of bullying, the type of bullying, and also the reason for bullying as well. So there are eight ways that they characterize bullying. I know that you're going to look at this and count them and say there's only seven, and there's a reason for that. I really, really do know how to count. But these are the ones that I'm looking at here. So the first one is teasing, being made fun of, called names, or insulted, having rumors spread about them, being threatened by harm, having physical harm, coercion, so being coerced to do something they do not want to do, being excluded on purpose, and having their property destroyed. Now, the eighth one that's not up here is cyberbullying, and that's having to do with technology, and even in the survey, they treat it separately. That is not something that we're looking at right now. We have that data, but I'm not including that in today's presentation. So that's the number eight that I was talking about. And the comparison group that we're using is a national sample group by DeVoe and Bauer. It was published in 2011, and they had 4,000 kids that they interviewed. So here are our results. On the x-axis, we have the adolescents in the general population on the left and the adolescents with hearing loss from our group on the right. And on the y-axis, we have the percent who report being bullied at least once in at least one different way. And if you remember, 28% of the adolescents in the general population reported that they had been bullied at least once. So what do we expect for the children with hearing loss? If we go by what's already been published in those three papers in the last 10 years, we would expect it to be the same. But what we found is that it's 47%. So nearly 20% more of the children with hearing loss are reporting that they've been bullied at least once in at least one way. And we did look at the confidence intervals, and there's no overlap at all suggesting that this is two different populations. So now let's think about the type of bullying. So we have the seven different types of bullying down on the y-axis and the percentage reporting peer victimization on the x-axis. And I do want to point out that it is only going to 50% because otherwise the bars would be very tiny and I want you to be able to see them. So here we have the adolescents in the general population. And if you remember, I said that teasing and having rumors spread about them are the most common types of bullying for the general population, and that's 18% of children in the general population report those too. This is what we see for children with hearing loss. So you can see that there's definitely a difference for some of the the types of bullying. They look about the same, having rumors spread about them, being threatened with harm, having their property destroyed. There doesn't seem to be a big difference. But let's look at these three, where there seems to be a greater disparity between the children with in the general population and those with hearing loss. And so if we look at that a little bit more closely, in the general population, 18% of those children report being teased. And in the children with hearing loss, it's 27%, and again, no overlap in the confidence intervals. For the children who are coerced to do something that they do not want to do, it's 3% in the general population and 15% in the children with hearing loss. And for the ones who are getting socially excluded, 6% in the general population and 24% in the children with hearing loss. So there's definitely differences in this population with how they're being treated by other children. When we asked about the reason for getting bullied, the first time that we asked this, do you think you were bullied because of your hearing loss? This is the first year that we asked this question. And when we asked that, 33% of them said yes. And then we went back and we thought about it. I'm like, oh, that's a really bad question. We really could have biased what they were saying because we didn't give them any other alternatives. So the second year when we asked this, we just said, why do you think you were picked on? And we gave them a multitude of reasons. Because of my hearing loss, because of my hearing aid, because of my cochlear implant. It was because of who I am, race, you get the picture. So we gave them lots of other options. And this is what they said. 20% of them thought that it was because of their hearing loss, hearing aid, or cochlear implant. But interestingly, half of them said, I don't know. I don't know why I was bullied, which might be very well true. What I was really interested in is the other group. So the ones who marked other had the opportunity to fill in with text for why they thought that they were getting bullied. And one of the little girls, there were rumors being spread about her. And so the reason she said other, she said, is because I wasn't there. The rumors were being spread about me because I just wasn't there for them to say it to my face. And then the other one that I like, there's a little girl who's super confident. These are ones that they filled it out online, but because they were children, we had a clinician or a student sitting with them in case they had questions. And this little girl was really confident, and I said, well, why do you think you were bullied? She said, I think they're jealous of me. It was jealousy. I said, good for you. We did want to take a quick look at risk factors just to see, are there things that are popping out? Are there children who are getting bullied? Is there something that defines them in this group of children with hearing loss? So we looked at all the regular things, gender, race, ethnicity, were they wearing a hearing aid or a cochlear implant, how old were they when they got their device, which grade were they in, were they in elementary school or middle school or high school, their communication competence, so how well did they think that they were communicating, how well intelligible were they, and how many friends did they have. And you know what we found? Nothing. Nothing separated the ones who were getting bullied from the ones who are not getting bullied. But I think it's possibly we have a very small sample. We have 88 children. Most of these children performed very well. Communication competence was pretty good. And the diversity of our sample wasn't as broad as maybe it should be, and I think that's something we really want to get into. And it might be because the children who are agreeing to answer these questions might not be all of the ones who are having more problems. So what do we do with this information? And then I decided, since this is a public health conference, we should take a public health approach. And what the public health approach says, thank you, is that we need to define the problem, We need to find out the reason and risk and protective factors. We need to develop prevention strategies, and we need to develop a program and implement it so that it can be adopted. So if we think about this, defining the problem and the prevalence, what I've shown you is that children with hearing loss are bullied more so than children in the general population, and that the prevalence is more in line with what we see with children with other disabilities, and that the way in which they are victimized with teasing, coercion, exclusion, it's more consistent with what we see anecdotally with the children with hearing loss, that they are not invited to as many parties, they receive more mean comments, they feel lonely, and they specifically say that I feel left out. And that these are very different than what we see in the general population. So we need to treat them differently when we're developing programs. As for the reason and the risk factors, 20 to 30% perceive that it's because of their hearing loss. Whether or not that's true doesn't really matter. It's what do they perceive as the reason for their peer victimization. And the other thing that I think we need to look for as the second step is what are the risk and protective factors. We just took a first foray just to see what was going on, but I think we need to delve deeper and figure out, are there really things that are separating these groups? Is it because of their communication competence? Is it because socially they might be awkward? Or is it because of their temperament? Does it have nothing to do with their hearing loss, and it has to do with something that's just in their personality? And when we think about prevention strategies, so what do we do about this? We need to think about this in more than one way. One is from the perspective of the parent. And the first thing you see up here, it says encourage sharing of experiences. And one way that I mean that is with the parent. Have the child and parent spend time together. So there is a website called stopbullying.gov. And on there, what they recommend is that parents spend 15 minutes every single day talking to their child just to see what's going on. So that's one way to find out how the child is functioning so that parental report matches that of the child report. And the second meaning of that is having them interact more with their peers to learn about sharing and turn-taking, to identify the social norms and how do we act within a group, and possibly to put them into activities so that they can learn how to communicate with those that are their own age. And the last thing that's on here, it talks about asking the school district for a team meeting. And so if we think about this prevention strategy, if the child is getting bullied, there are definitely websites. There are two right here, pacer.org and Hands and Voices. And both of them have template letters for this is exactly what you need to write to your school district. It gives you a way to request the district policy on bullying, and it also gives you a way to ask for help to find out exactly what is the intervention program, what are they going to do about this, and specifically says, I would like a response within 5 business days. The reason this is so important is that bullying, it's against what happens, what's requested in the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and that it's...
Is it time?
Okay. Thank you. And that it's denying the children with disabilities a free and appropriate public education. So these are ways that you can write to it to make sure that your child gets what they need. And something on Hands and Voices that I love is that it gives them specific ways to incorporate safety measures into the individualized education plan and the Section 504 plan. For example, if you want the child to learn how to acknowledge that there is a bullying or an uncomfortable situation, you can actually put in there something that says that the child will learn to say no to uncomfortable situations in both role play and in real situations. So it gives very specific ways to word it so that it can be in the child's IEP. And at the school level, increased supervision in the hallways and in the classroom and on the playground. But creating a safe environment, it means a couple of things. It means teaching the child how to recognize that they're being bullied and that they're being picked on, and training the staff, and I should also say the peers, about what do you expect with children with vulnerable populations and children with hearing loss, and teaching them about the disability so they know the better way to interact. And here are some websites that are very good at providing information about that. And I do want to point out that the Department of Education just last month released, they issued a way for schools to deal with bullying and children with disabilities, so I would highly recommend checking out that website. And with that, thank you very much, and here are some websites, and feel free to contact me if you have any questions. Thank you.